You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Agri Tuesday, and this week we're taking a look at a unique concept that seems to be growing in popularity, and that is urban farming. We're going to take a look at how it differs from traditional farming and what potential benefits it could have for the communities that get involved. I'm joined on the line by Robin Heels, who is the head of programs at Food and Trees for Africa, to take a look at this and try and understand it. Good evening, Robin. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with an understanding of urban farming and its potential benefits.
Thanks for having me on, Jimmy. And that's a great question. You know, there are so many benefits of diversifying our food system. And farming vegetables organically in urban areas allows us to bridge that gap in the supply chain, making sure that nutritious organic vegetables are accessible by communities in under-resourced areas. And that's just one benefit. Other benefits include biodiversity that we include in all of our farms at Food and Trees for Africa, because we put in fruit trees and herbs, support plants and companions. And that also helps with soil health, which is really a sustainable resource management tool. And agroecology is the method in which we make all of this possible.
You mentioned soil health, Robin, and that was something I was wondering about, is when we're looking at urban farming, typically this is kind of moving away from what we would traditionally know as agricultural land and farming in different areas. How do you get that right with understanding the fact that it's completely different soil more often than not in urban areas than it is on agricultural land?
You know, it is difficult to reconcile, because so often we think farming is this massive, large tract of land with one kind of vegetable or one kind of crop. And that monoculture is an old-fashioned way of doing things. So often we're finding that a diverse range of fresh vegetables can be grown in a really small space, still using really valuable soil. But that's when fertility really comes in. We've got to build our soils by not using chemicals and not using pesticides, which create an imbalance in our ecosystem. If we work with nature, we can grow and build amazing urban farms. I mean, there's a lot of technology that is coming in terms of vertical growing and hydroponics, but that's not specifically what we're doing at Southgate Mall. What we're doing there is using and utilizing spaces in urban environments that are previous dumping grounds, spots that people don't really want to do anything else with. And it's incredible what you can do when you use agroecology principles by composting and bringing in bioorganic matter, by building that soil up and allowing nature to take its course, replenishing those soils and adding nutrients through using culminating lots and different kinds of bioorganic materials like comfrey and soil activators.
Robin, you mentioned the Southgate project, or the food garden project you guys are busy with there, and I want to look at projects like that in a bit more detail. How do those kinds of projects bring communities together and create sort of ecosystems for themselves to be sustainable, but also to add back to not just those that are servicing the projects, but actually feeding the communities around that area?
It's such an amazing question, because what's so beautiful about a lot of these projects is that there's collective ownership and each one is different. But what's important is that sort of collaboration is fostered by Food and Trees for Africa as an NGO, but by multiple corporations and CSI donors who also want to build a more resilient food system. So in this particular case, Boipelo Co-op was in existence and they were looking for places to grow food. They were looking for expansion possibilities, and that's when it became so perfect that they would start their production and expand their production for primarily, at the moment, we're looking at cash crops like spinach and spring onions and coriander, because making an income, however small that is initially, ensures that it is a sustainable project. And so Food and Trees for Africa is maintaining the garden with the support of our donor, which is Southgate Mall, ensuring that the project members themselves have taken on all of the labor themselves. They are taking full ownership of this project. And it's only through these strong community bonds that these sorts of projects flourish.
The project is called the Boipelo food and security primary cooperative. And I want to look at that second aspect of it, Robin, around security. I had a conversation a little while ago around the importance of food security, and obviously understanding that we live in a very different world now with increasing rates of food insecurity. In fact, there's been studies that suggest that one in every four children is susceptible to food insecurity, and that presents a very real existential threat to communities and to individuals. Can we sustainably solve problems like food insecurity or food security through urban farming?
I think it's one of the solutions, Jimmy. And the solutions come in with a huge amount of planning in terms of production. You know, climate change is changing our weather. It means that our rainfall is not as predictable. And sometimes when rain does come, it comes in huge amounts. And then we have flooding. Then we have erosion problems. So I think the key is that all of us as actors, as implementers, as agents of change, need to understand that it takes personal responsibility and corporate responsibility to ensure that we can have a diverse range of food suppliers, whether it's fresh vegetables that are at gate sales to communities, which is what we saw during COVID, at market gardens exploded during COVID because suddenly people needed food on their doorsteps. They couldn't line up for miles and miles at different malls because they couldn't get in to retailers. Suddenly people became more aware of what community bonds they had, what access they had to fresh fruit and vegetables and herbs. And in terms of contributing to a food secure South Africa, I think the best way that we can do that is by collaborating and by identifying what all of those solutions look like. In terms of market gardens and small farm networks and aggregating, you know, smaller solutions and local solutions, that's one of the ways. But also at a policy level, you know, making sure that we don't import seed or chemicals that are going to be destructive to our environment and further degrade our soils. That's just a short-term solution to something that if we don't work with nature in a long-term planning away, we're not going to solve the solution. We're not going to get ahead of the rising tide of insecurity in terms of and food production in the world.
Robin, how do we get involved with initiatives like this? I mean, I know that you as Food for Africa and the NPO deal with a lot of these sorts of challenges where you can, but you obviously do need some additional support to ensure that these initiatives are sustainable and that you're able to continue to do the work that you do. How do people get involved with Food and Trees for Africa if they're looking to contribute towards this urban farming and towards food security?
I think as individuals in marginalized communities, getting involved in your local market garden or school-based food garden is the best way that you can help your community and help yourself in terms of skills development and food production. Learning about looking after your soil, about planting trees and understanding climate resilience is one of the best ways that you as an individual in a marginalized community can look after yourself. But as a CSI implementer, I think a lot of corporates are getting involved. We've got our beautiful website, which is trees.org.za, and anyone can pop on there. They can apply as farmers, they can apply to our programs, and we will help them with support in the form of mentorship and infrastructure, things like shade cloth structures and water tanks and irrigation, which just makes farming that much easier. And for donors, they can also get involved with us by simply emailing info@trees.org.za, and we'll get back to them in terms of partnerships.
There you have it, folks. There's a lot that you can do to contribute towards food security and towards sustainable farming. I think we'll leave it at that. Robin, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Robin Heels, who's the head of programs at Food and Trees for Africa, joining us to take a look at urban farming and how it can be a positive for communities.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.